Maybe you people know me by my face. It is recognizable. This chiseled line, these great washboard abs. Maybe you people know me by reputation as a textbook or cyborg, as they call me. Others know the name because I've been everywhere. It's Tyson Dukes. But if you don't know who I am and you live under a rock, June 2nd at the Vaughn Trio Sportsplex. Come watch me step up to the challenge of one young star, John Greed. Now, a lot of people might say John Greed was stupid and foolish, thinking he's biting more than he can chew, taking on the top dog in wrestling in Ontario today. You know what? The way I look at it, I respect it. I admire his courage. He wants to make a name for himself. He wants to step up to the plate. He wants to use me as a stepping stone to move on with his career. Only thing is, John Greed, I'm not the big bad dog. I'm the alpha dog. And I'm not a stepping stone. I'm the cornerstone.
This episode of Ringside Rant is brought to you by the Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and embracing the vision. Visit us on Facebook at Visionaries Wrestling Network. Follow us on Twitter at VizWrestleNet. The interview with the top dog in Ontario, Canada, Tyson Dukes, is right around the corner.
Have you dreamt of being inside the squared circle? Have you ever thought of being a professional wrestler? Well, here is your chance. 100 Boxart Street, Rochester, New York, Upstate Professional Wrestling's Kayfabe Dojo. This is where you will learn the basics of how to be a professional wrestler. Classes are Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They go from basic to advanced. Trainers are Nick Ando, Chris Caden, and Colin Delaney. For more information, check us out at upstateprowrestling.wixsite.com. Have you ever wanted to own your own professional wrestling title? Maybe you need one for that office pool you got going on. Maybe you need one for that league you got going on. Who knows? But you're in luck. Wrestle Inc. Gimmick Belts is where it's at. Any idea you come up with, they bring to life. Check them out online on Facebook at Gimmick Champions. Do it.
Welcome back to another episode of Ringside Rant right here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. I have the honor of sitting down with, you know, I call you arguably the top dog in Ontario, Canada. Fits you very well. I have Tyson Dukes with me tonight. It's an honor to sit down with you, Tyson.
Yo, man, how's it going?
Oh, you know, like I said before, I'm living that dream. A little tired today after a two-day event, but I'm sure if anybody can relate to that, you can.
Well, it's all about those reps, man. Got to get those reps in. That's the way it goes.
Oh, yeah. But how things up in Ontario?
Ontario is one of those places that never seems to have a moment rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's busy. It's always busy, which is good. It's great for a lot of guys out of this region to get work and stay pretty busy. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody's paying the bills with it, but at least there's a major amount of work. So that's why, in a lot of cases, Ontario guys have been known as like some of the best workers to date.
Yeah.
Lately.
Yeah. Now, I saw that before we, you know, nailed down it's time to talk, you mentioned that you had a new training facility. How's that been going for you? It's fairly new, right?
Yeah, I started in October. I started way back in October. Well, I guess that's not that far back. We finally opened the school. It took about 4 years of planning. Me and my wife had a rink for about 2 years that was stored outside in a truck yard, and we just waited for the opportunity to find a place. We found a place. It served its purpose, and now we've moved into a better facility that's a lot cleaner, has heat in the wintertime, and things are rolling, man. We're pretty busy.
Yeah. Yeah, that heat during those cold Ontario, Canada winters tend to that helps out a little bit.
Well, that toughens them up, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I can relate being down here from upstate New York, so I can definitely relate to that. Now, being, you know, like I said, being up in Ontario, Canada, you know, there's a lot of differences that I've noticed between wrestling in Ontario and other parts of Canada and wrestling here in the States. What are those kind of differences that you've seen as a trainer?
It's very much a hybrid style. Mm-hmm. It's, if you really want to break it down, it's very much the center. Like, Ontario is kind of like the center of Canada, right? It's the, mm-hmm. the place that everybody comes to. Toronto's like the major city. When you think major city in Canada, you think Toronto. Capital's in Ottawa, of course. But, like, you have, like, everybody comes here. So whatever the style may be, if it's lucha, if it's strong style from Japan, if it's like American South, mm-hmm. all those different styles all seem to blend here in Ontario. Whereas like in out west where Stampede used to run, it's mm-hmm. a very Stampede style,
mm-hmm.
and out east it's a very old school style. So it's mm-hmm. kind of neat to see the territories and how they differ from just place to place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know I've talked to one of your students, or former students, he's now out, and I'm sure he comes to you every once in a while, is Kobe Christ. And
yes. From out east, yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And over from UCW, and obviously he's now expanding himself in Canada, which is good, and I've become a big fan of his, seeing his work from down here online, but him and I had that conversation of, you know, everywhere from Ontario and points east is that kind of that crown jewel of Canada, and even going as far as crown jewel of even the world, because there's a lot of great talent coming out of that area, yourself being included, Kobe, Marcus Burke, Carter Mason, Lionel Knights, just to name a few.
Yes. Yeah. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
That's just scratching the surface. There's so many guys.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't go as far, you know, I don't want to go as far as gimmick infringement as calling you the original King of the North, trying to not to take that away from Carter Mason, but it's one of those things where you type in the name Tyson Dukes and you get a lot of good matches popping up, man, and goes all the way back to when I started, you know, got back into WWE. Is watching you facing the likes of Chavo Guerrero on Velocity and Matt Hardy on SmackDown. What was that experience for you? Obviously being back in the early 2000s, but how was that? Was that experience for you?
That's so long ago that it's just almost like it's nostalgia now. So whenever I show up now and see how much things have changed, because everything changes, everything evolves. Especially in this sport, and especially in this business,
mm-hmm.
that things have changed so drastically at the top company in the world. Mm-hmm. Just the rules that apply, like you'll see a changing of the guard all the time. So things change. Like guys, like enhancement now, if you're on an enhancement show, that's all your role is now, is you're just enhancement. There's no second look at it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to actually call you up, you have to do the performance center and be a part of their machine, their thing. Mm-hmm. So unless you're getting a call to do PC, even if you're doing these enhancement type gigs, they're really not going to take you all that far until you get, unless they do notice you and they send you to the performance center. Other than that, it's a little bit different. Like, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to that stuff. I come from a time where I could have got signed, and I almost got signed right out of just, like, wrestling, just on, like, an enhancement-style match. Uh-huh. And then I'm the only guy that was there so long and so often. A lot of guys thought I was under contract, and I had my own entrance music, and I had my own entrance. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the very few guys that had all that stuff given to them. If you look at all their, show you back in 2000, mm-hmm. There's a list of music online, mm-hmm. and one of them, if you look on there, I'm on my music's on there.
Oh, wow.
From 2002 to 2004. Yeah. So it's a wild ride, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. It's kind of neat to see now, because I was back. When they came to Montreal, I was backstage with the guys and just hanging out. Just took the day to went down with Rhino, and we just chilled at for the day there and talked a little bit of business and stuff. Mm-hmm. But just the comfort level, maybe it's because it's me, maybe it's different now, but the comfort level is a little bit different than what it used to be.
Yeah, it's definitely going back from the early 2000s, like I said. When I first got back into it, you know, I took a couple years off there for other reasons, but yeah, it's even looking at it now, it's changed so much, and you know, and there's so much more wrestling now that you can tap into, whether it's, you know, watching Japan or Ring of Honor, whatever the case may be, which is definitely good for the business, in my opinion. But now, you know, with having your training facility up and running now, who are those couple of those guys that, you know, are either in training right now or just graduated or whatever the case may be, that, you know, us as wrestling fans, you know, really should keep our eyes on to come make a big splash in the business?
Well, right now I have two guys that are working shows. They're signed in, they're locked in for the year, so they're like, they have to wear gear that is designed, kind of not designed, but like the my colors and all that stuff. So there, it's very Japanese based.
Mm-hmm.
So they wear my colors, they wear my gear logo on their stuff right now. And there's two guys out of the group of I have five that are working right now on shows, one girl, and I got four guys. Mm-hmm. And the two guys to really look out for is Jim Strider and Kyle Boone. Those two kids are like just they're different. They're different level. One's super young, which is really one of those kids that's probably going to go really far. Keeps his head on his shoulders,
mm-hmm.
being Kyle Boone. And the other one is a little bit older, way more mature. 27-year-old Jim Strider.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Strider has picked it up so well and is so professional and understands how things are supposed to be done, that I think he's going to make a real quick mark on the business really, really quick. He already, those guys have had a couple matches on some shows,
mm-hmm.
and have blown away, like, even their peers. Like, everybody that I know, they just know that these guys are at a different level altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a young man's game now, and you see a lot of these young guys coming in and breaking in really early. And
Man, I got a couple of kids that are 16 years old. I won't take them any younger than 16.
Yeah.
And I cringe at the thought of putting kids in there that are 16 years old. But if their parents sign and have I got their permission from their parents, and they know what they're signing up for, then the sky's the limit. And I got one kid who's 16 years old that would is going to be something special. He's a great kid,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping to have him on show starting September.
Oh wow, excellent.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable kid.
Yeah. Now, so what? what are the, your thoughts on the current, you know, current product and as far as independents go, you know, whether it be in Canada or down here in the States, stuff that you watch or stuff that you hear about?
I'm a huge fan of pro wrestling of all different types. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those guys like not a lot of old school guys. Because a lot of people think I'm old school because I am old and I've been around and I have a very unique style that they think that I'm I dislike the high fly style. The example I give is Ricochet versus Ospreay.
Uh-huh.
When they did that crazy bananas match.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they were all over the place. I don't hate any of it. I don't hate, because wrestling is subjective. Wrestling is an art form that is very much subjective, and it is up to whoever follows that art, if he enjoys that art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Uh-huh.
I feel as though... I think the direction is very, very repetitive. That's the only thing I'd have to say.
Yes.
You see a lot of the same things in a lot of matches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I would encourage guys to get out there and stand out. Be unique. Don't use the same stuff. Don't use, if one guy's doing a Marufuji run or a ghost run on the ropes where he runs behind or whatever, maybe not use that. Or maybe not do the run from corner to corner where you hit the guy and run to the other corner and get hit and stuff like that. Maybe switch up your offense a bit. Stand out a little bit like a Zack Sabre Jr. or Drew Gulak or like an Ospreay. Like, mm-hmm. Be totally unique. Mm-hmm. Be somewhat completely, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did that, man, I think the business would do... the business is great and done and doing well, but if you tweak it a little bit and you don't repeat your actions so much, I think it would be even that
much
more strong.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely don't disagree with you on that. Now, I noticed that you had the Northern tournament up in Smash this, I think it was last weekend. I saw you were wrestling for that. How'd that go for you?
It was great. It was a good tournament. I wrestled now guys that I haven't wrestled ever.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It was a neat experience trying to build Smash's tournament, the Northern tournament, into something special like Super 8.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And I've never had the chance to lock horns with guys like Joey Mercury before.
Yeah.
And over 40 years of experience in that ring, and we've never, ever locked horns. So it was neat to work with him. I got to work with Joe Hendry again, and that was an absolute pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I love working with that guy. Mm-hmm. Great dude and great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the finals against guys I never wrestled before was Andrew Everett.
Okay.
Who's a good.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's four guys in one day, one shot, you know?
Yeah.
So it was good. It was good. It was a good experience.
Yeah, no, because Adam Everett, he just won the Impact Tag titles, right?
Yep.
Yeah, now he's definitely one of those guys. I saw him. I've seen him all over. I've seen him all the way from, like I said, Impact, all the way down to when he was wrestling with Wrestle Circus. Excuse me.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Down in Texas.
Yeah.
And he put on one of those matches. I forgot who the other. I think. What was the one of the? Teddy Hart was one of them. He was wrestling. It was a four way, and it was just unreal kind of match.
Yeah.
And
they're crazy. They're all crazy.
Oh yeah. Now who's a couple of those guys? Like you mentioned a few right there that you haven't had the pleasure of locking horns with, but who are a couple of those other guys that you've you have your eyes on that you haven't wrestled yet that you want to?
Conversation come up numerous times at the school and those kind of deals. I never look at it that way. So I've never really had my eye on anybody. I never call anybody out because I'm always more concerned about just putting on good shows, good matches, and whoever comes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've never been the guy to try to pick a guy up and say, come wrestle me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Never been my never been my deal. I think that's like, I think a lot of young kids do that because that kind of boosts them, mm-hmm. try to help their name get some value if they work some bigger names and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think like I'm the old dog in the old yard, man. I can whoever comes to the yard, I'll bite you.
Yeah, but it's one of those things. Like I said, been doing my research, watching a lot of your matches. You know, you call yourself the old dog, but man, you sure the hell can go.
thanks, bro. Try.
Oh yeah, my pleasure. Now there was one of those guys, I had him on my show last week from down here in the Binghamton area. His name's Sean Carr, and he's one of those guy textbook guys, kind of like yourself, where he just goes and goes. But yeah, he just got injured. He ended up breaking his ankle, so he's out for about 6 weeks. So,
I never like to hear that stuff. I never like to hear about the injuries in wrestling. It just sets guys back so far, and there's opportunities out there, and money's being lost, and families just don't. You can't say like if you break your ankle and you're just a guy that's on the indie scene. And you're not making as much as those other guys. That's mm-hmm. hard. That's hard living. Yeah. I know all about that blowing out my knee in 2004. I know hard living, man. And it's tough. That's a tough rock. And
yeah.
Hopefully it gets better soon.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely. And I'm like, okay. I told him he's a big fan of yours. He says he's watched a lot of your stuff. I'm like, okay, I got him on next week. I'll drop your name in there kind of subtly and try to see how it goes. But yeah, he ended up setting up a ring and landed wrong, and he's actually then he wrestled a triple threat against Jack Swagger and another guy. So,
wow,
he's
tough. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The first time I ever watched him work was in Pennsylvania. It was him and Strickland.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And they put on one. It was great match. The two of them were going at all cylinders. It was great. It was good to watch. First time I got to see both of them work at the same time. It was a good experience. Like they did so well.
Yeah.
And just humble, nice guys. You know, mm-hmm. just eager to do stuff. So it was good.
Yeah. He had a match down here with Lionel Knight too for our promotion down here at UPW and. And I asked him after the fact, and both of them, actually. And I'm like, have you guys, you know, wrestled? This is your first time? They're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, well, it doesn't show. You guys are such good workers. And it doesn't show and goes to attest to it. But
yes.
Oh, yeah. Now, with, Tyson Dukes being a big name up in Canada, as big as it is, another name that is big up there is Scott D'Amore. And,
yes.
You know, being a part of, like I said, mentioning with Kobe Christ, you know, being a part of that with you, as far as that training and all that good stuff, what has your thoughts been on the comings and goings that is Sami Callihan? An impact right now.
You know what? The one thing I list, Sami Callihan is a different kind of animal altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Sami. I like Sami as a human being, as a talk to guy, and I also really enjoy Sami in the ring. In ring, he's a phenomenal talent as well. If you got the opportunity and you're solid enough a worker to turn a tragedy or something really, really awful, like it's just a mistake. If you could turn a mistake into what he has and the amount of he's pulled out of that whole accident that he has, like you're talking good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That used to happen back in the day. I think a lot of guys get lost in that whole idea that they got to remember that this business is risky. Every time we go in there, we run the risk of breaking something or hurting something. Like that was as far back, and then they say, "Well, it's changed so much." Well, no, wrestling's always been that way. Killer Kowalski got his fame; like he has become one of the most famous maniacs in professional wrestling, because the guy's ear got torn off.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to check on him in the hospital, not knowing that the reporters were checking in on him. And then he went in there and he had a look at the guy, and then he just laughed at him, like, sinisterly. He was trying to check up on him, and then he had a switch into character, and then the press ate that up as he just went into the hospital just to make sure he could laugh at him that he ripped his ear off. So those kind of things is what makes this business kind of like tick. It's still a carnival act. You still want to draw people in through negativity if mm-hmm. you can. Not mm-hmm. all that's gonna make money while he can. And with that kind of stuff, go for it.
Yeah. Now, you know, I just got back, like I said, got back into Impact, you know, from watching it back in the days of like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, gentlemen like that. What is your, you know, being in that area, that hotbed for Impact now that they're up in Ottawa, is Impact a promotion that you watch and kind of keep your eye on too?
I keep my, well, honestly, to tell you the truth, I keep my eye on all of them.
Yeah.
I've always been, but that's me, right? I've been a studier of everything.
Right.
All the time. I always have studied wrestling, and I always kind of like, even when I'm long out of the business in the ways of actually wrestling, I still will study it just because it's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down and watching how things are like evolve and stuff like that, I always watch. So I'm just curious to see how they do down the road with stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Curious.
Oh yeah, it's definitely come a long way, and from where it was until what it is now, and you know it's definitely improved from what I've seen. You know, having guys like Scott D'Amore and a bunch of those guys at helm that can actually, you know, steer them in the right direction with Don Callis and what have you. So, now I touched before with saying there's so much wrestling out there. Do you think that sometimes, you know, hurts guys getting into the business because there's just so much out there?
Yeah, I think so. And it's a saturated market too.
Yeah.
Where like guys are like being trained better than ever before. Like before it was just a carny act. To like actually find a reputable school that would take care of you was hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can find good schools. Cheap plug right there. You can find good schools anywhere. You can find people that make wrestling gear that's their career, as they make. Like when I started this business, we didn't have that. I didn't have people making spandex outfits. I didn't have wrestling boots. Now you can get that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Go online and find all that stuff. And then you can always get to a show because of the internet. There's never a chance of you not going anywhere with it. So it's the market, though, with all the amount of talent, you really have to stand out. And that's one of those things is, would I have stood out if I was in the business starting right now?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's the same. It's like you can't equate that level. You can't. It's like telling, will Muhammad Ali beat Mike Tyson? Well, we don't know because they're in different eras.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different. It's two totally different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with wrestling. It's the same kind of deal.
Yeah.
It's just like the business is tough now. But when I started, it was also tough because we had to deal with a lot of people, like not a lot of information, a lot of people that were trying to take your money, and a lot of big guys in the business of which you're trying to hurt little guys. So it's ever changing, and it's kind of a different kind of adventure. It's quite neat though.
Yeah.
It's a neat sport.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, like I said, you can sit down anywhere in the world and be tapped into, you know, you watch Dominion on Saturday or Sunday or whatever, and you don't even have to watch it live anymore. You don't have to sit there and, you know, push the record button on the old VHS VCR and okay, now you can hit this and that. It's always there because you can always watch it. And I think that it's a telling of the times, and it's definitely, it's good. It has its good thing and its bad things.
Yes. Yeah. It has its pluses and minuses.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it also helps a lot of the guys that I've, you know, that I've talked to, where they can just send their not send their tapes, but they can send their matches over. They can email email them all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, it's phenomenal how, you know, you said changing of the times, changing the guard, so to speak. But, you know, so I ask this to everybody that, you know, I interview, you know, it's kind of been a custom one of those things that I've asked, but, you know, behind every good, you know, good wrestler, good, you know, trainer, there's a good woman, there's a good family. How has your family adapted to, you know, supporting you, obviously, as, you know, Tyson Dukes, the wrestler, and then Tyson Dukes as a trainer? How has that played into your, you know, your wrestling wrestling career?
It's, well, you need strong people around you, because you're not always home, you're not always there. You're always on your phone trying to email people and get business done and answer questions for new guys and get them set up. And like, it's a constant. If you want to make money, if you want to do something, if you want to be successful, you got to grind, eh? Grind all day long, all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's a testament. I was married once before. Mm-hmm. That never worked out. I got two wonderful children out of the deal. Mm-hmm. But now I've been remarried now, and my wife is like spectacular. My business and my career have taken like an upwards leap since meeting her and since settling down with her and having our son together. Like, everything is always pushed forward, but it's enhanced now. It's done very, very well, and it's a testament to her. It's not so much me, because me, I would just be on the hamster wheel of wrestling life as it is anyways, but she makes it not a wheel. She makes the hill go up.
Yeah.
So she's a different kind of cat, though. Like, she's younger than me. She's a tiny little blonde thing, but she's really mighty. She's pretty tough. So like, yeah. I don't give her much slack, you know. She doesn't take much crap. She's just a good solid woman, and has made my career what it is now. I wish in hindsight I would have met her years ago. It would have helped me out immensely, but like, that's just not the way it goes, right? Yeah. That's hindsight. If hindsight was a real thing, well, we'd all be super successful. But I couldn't ask for anybody better than her.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. And I've made a joke with a couple of guys down here that works the Northeast down here. I don't know if you heard Bill Collier.
Oh yeah, I know Bill.
Yeah, I've had him on the show, and I've met his fiance now, I said, you know, I talked to her. I'm like, we both had the same idea of making a show, whether it be on TV or podcast or whatever, called the Wise of Independent Wrestling.
Yeah, you know why? It would be a pretty sweet show.
Oh, you know that, and especially if you know, with being like I mentioned, being involved with Upstate Pro Wrestling here, I see a lot of the guys, the boys' wives and girlfriends, and I'm like, oh, man, that's a show right there. You know, I don't need to watch this Housewives of Georgia or New York or whatever.
Yeah, you just have to tune in every week to that.
Oh, geez, I'd get take my money and start the popcorn. you know, come the day that, you know, you hang up the boots and you take the position as a trainer, you know, full time. What do you want your legacy to be when somebody types in the name Tyson Dukes to, you know, into Google, any type of search machine online, or, you know, sees any of your matches, whether they be, you know, DVD or whatever, what have you? What do you want that legacy to be?
I want my legacy to always shine through my kids, the ones that I wrestle or I train now. I want them to like continue with what I've taught them and instilled in them. I'm hoping to keep my legacy alive forever. That's kind of the reason, like a selfish reason to open that school, is to become somewhat immortal in the game. As long as my teachings are being done, then a little piece of me is always going to be there. I would hope that people would just find that, like, that humble, like, that respect that they know that I was humble my whole career, and always easy to get along with anybody, and just, like, always gave 100%. Like, I don't, there's no times where I just check it in. If there's 30 people out there, I'm not going to check it in. I'm not just going to give them just half of what I can do. I'm not half-assing it. Because if they're paying, it doesn't matter. There's 30 people out there. Those 30 people, you know, worked really, really hard for that $20. Mm-hmm. My wife used to work before she became a nurse, worked at Wendy's. So, you know, to make 10 bucks, you'd have to, like, work with, like, a cash and drive-through and deal with a whole bunch of jerks. And, like, I don't want to... If they're there and they're spending their hard-earned money, man, I'm giving them the show that they deserve. So I hope that people see that. I hope they – and I get that. I get feedback like that all the time. Like, oh, I remember – like, I have guys that are not so new in the business, like Cody Diener and stuff, say stuff all the time. And I don't remember it. It's been so long. But stuff that sticks with them that I've done for them.
Yeah.
Or I've inspired them in some way. And it's a good feeling. It's good to know that that they can feel my passion and work through my passion, and it makes other people passionate. So that's basically it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and after I talked to, like I mentioned before, talking to Kobe, and, you know, and he, you know, strap a rocket to his back because he's going upwards real quick and definitely liking his work. And it goes to... goes to show you obviously the good work that you put in with him, training him and Scott and as well. But yeah, it's great to see guys like a Kobe Christ and you know, Cody Diener, you know, coming from your school and making as big as they have. You know, just before we call it a night, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your very, very busy schedule coming on the show. And chatting with me, you know, just take the last few moments, you know, plug any events that you got coming up for Smash or any other events you got coming up soon within the next few weeks, and anything else you want to plug.
Well, thanks for having me. First and foremost, it was nice. I'm sorry that it took so long to get it all together, but I guess it was well worth it.
Definitely.
If anybody wants to see what's happening on Smash, we have so many events. There's so many events through Smash right now that I can't even keep track. I'm on a weekly basis with them now, where I call the company and I say, hey, what am I doing this week again? And then they let me know. So smashwrestling.com is your easiest way to get in a hold and in touch of what's going on with the Smash Wrestling, and when their TV, because we're airing on the Fight Network every Thursday at 10 p.m. So if you want to see it there, that's where we're at. And then they will also let you know on shows online where the shows will be taped at, so that you can have your chance to get your face out there, get your poster out there and stuff like that. And more crowd crazy, passionate you are, the more we love it there. And for me, my things are really easy. My Twitter account, my Twitter and my Instagram are both at Tyson Dukes, D-U-X, not D-U-K-E-S, it's D-U-X. Jean-Claude Van Damme fan here.
There you go.
And also, if you're looking for information on the school, you can either email me it's a long email, at TysonDukesWrestlingFactory@gmail.com. Or look online. I also answer questions there. I got a site on Facebook, which is the Tyson Dukes Wrestling Factory. Also on Twitter and Instagram with that under Dukes Factory, D-U-X Factory. So I got a lot of things going. I got a lot of, like, you know, fires on the stove kind of deal. And things are moving. And I'm very, very happy that things are the way they are, because I'd rather stay busy than stay idle.
Yeah. Definitely. It's always good to have as many irons in the fire, as they say, as possible. So
amen to that.
But yeah, definitely. I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we can have you on again and, you know, see what's going on, and hopefully see what's going on with you in school.
Most definitely.
All right. Thank you very much, Tyson.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Take care.
You too.
very much for tuning in to this episode of Ringside Rant with my fantastic interview that I had with Tyson Dukes. For those of you that don't know who Tyson Dukes is now, I hope you do now. Go give him a follow across social media. Go give his school, the Dukes Wrestling Factory, a follow as well on Facebook and Twitter. This is a fantastic guy, and if you've got a wrestler too as well. So stay tuned. My question and answer segment is coming up next. I have a lot of good and great questions that people have asked me throughout the week. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, go over and follow the show's Twitter page at ringside_rant on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at RJ_Kruzinski. That's KRUSZYNSKI. You could follow the network's Twitter page at VizWrestleNet or our Facebook page at Visionaries Wrestling Network. You could follow us, go over to iTunes right now and subscribe to the Visionaries Wrestling Network. You know, subscribe, because then you'll automatically have all of these fantastic shows we have on the network downloaded automatically to your device of choice. You could also follow the show on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, Podknife, and Podable. So make sure you go over and support the network, support the shows, and make sure that you embrace the vision that we have tried to spread over these many, many months that we've had these shows on the network. You could follow, make sure you go over and follow The Chris Caden on Twitter, Facebook. Follow the MGB Wrestling Podcast as well. And also follow the View from the Top Rope Podcast as well. All these shows are fantastic, and you guys need to hear these every week, Monday through Friday. And make sure that you embrace the vision, like I said. I appreciate everybody that has listened to the show thus far, and continue to listen to the show, because without you, I wouldn't be doing this, and without you, I wouldn't love what I'm doing, and I wouldn't love you guys, all my loyal listeners, all my ranters out there, as I like to call you, my ranters, my loyal ranters, I should say. So I appreciate everybody that's listened, so stay tuned. All your questions that you asked me this week will be answered in full, so make sure you stay tuned and embrace the vision, my friends. Hey, you right there. Yeah, that's you. You're one of my ranters. I love you guys. Thank you so much for submitting all your questions this week to Ringside Rant right here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. All you ranters out there, I love you guys so much. I can't tell you how much. I love that you've listened to the show. You've given me great feedback. And, you know, there's not enough words that can describe how I feel about you guys, you know, tuning in to each and every episode, and, you know, making my job so much more enjoyable than it already is, talking to all these wonderful wrestlers like Tyson Dukes or Sean Carr, Nick Sullivan's, Hellcats, Defiance, everybody that I've interviewed over the last 6 months. I know I'm leaving a lot of guys off, but I appreciate everybody that I've interviewed thus far, and it only gets better from here on out. As next week, I will have John Davis from Pro Wrestling Eagle down in the Georgia and the Southern states. A fantastic guy that I've been longing to get for quite some time. Had a lot of good matches with the likes of Jeff Cobb, Ray Fury that I've had on the show. O'Shea, Edwards I've had on the show. All these guys have fantastic matches with John Davis. I have the honor of sitting down with him next week right here on the Ringside Rant, coming to you on Monday right here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Envisioning excellence and embracing the vision since the dawn of time. So with that being said, I've gotten all my plugs out of the way, and I'm probably boring you to death right now because I'm not interviewing anybody, but you can listen to the sultry voice that is me. So without further ado, the first question is coming from Golden Graham Bagshaw. He is at Mr. Bagshaw on Twitter. He's also a contributor to the network with his very knowledgeable 10-year-old son, Mason. You can follow them on Twitter at MGB Wrestling Pod. And then you can listen to their podcast right here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network on Friday. So they asked that it was more of a comment where they met Hornswoggle at an event out by them down by them, because everything's far south of here for me around Christmas time, where they met Swoggle, and an 8x10 that they bought was $10 and they took a picture. But now they went to a new event and it was $25 just to take the picture. And he wanted to ask me, because I'm involved with Upstate Professional Wrestling, that if it is there a, is this a noticeable difference in similar pricings all across the board, or is it just for them at indie shows? And you know, when he asked this to me a few weeks ago, I gave him an answer right away, and I didn't know that that was for the show, so he already knows my answer. But you know, I will tell you guys right now with the answer that I gave him is, you know, it really depends on a few things. There's a few factors that it'll depend on as far as the pricing goes. And like I said, this is just my opinion that I've noticed from going to a lot of events up here in upstate New York and the Northeast, is it really depends on, you know, the wrestler and who it is, whether it be a big name like a Swoggle or Jack Swagger or Leva Bates or whatever. You know, that plays a lot into it too, because they're trying to, you know, create the brand that is, you know, their name as far as their wrestling persona or character, or even them in general. So that plays into it too. But it also plays into where they're wrestling too, depending on if they're getting, you know, they're getting how big their cut is from what they're getting paid from the booker, or it really depends on. It depends on a lot of things, but for the most part, you know, over time, you're going to have those inconsistencies, whether it be a few months, a few years, you're going to see that inconsistency because they have to make up for the changing in times, you know, depending on if they have to drive from, you know, say from New York to Georgia, you know, they're going to be spending a lot of money, a good fair amount of money going down there in general. So they're going to try to, you know, cut costs, or you know, make up for that that revenue that they've lost coming down there. But you know, for independent wrestling, you're going to see inconsistencies going from state to state depending on what they have to claim as well. So and I know this is a long-winded answer for you, Graham, but you know, it really depends on where you're going, you know, from state to state. Some of it you'll see a noticeable inconsistency as far as pricing, but for the most part, you should be, you know, for a picture, you should be anywhere from about 10 to, you know, 10 to 20 bucks. And then some, even sometimes they'll give you this, the picture, or the, you can take a picture with them for free. It really depends on the guys and the gals that, that wrestle. They'll definitely have their stamp of, you know, the price range where they have, whether it be a, you know, a color picture or black and white, or if you want to just take a picture of you with your smartphone, whether it be an iPhone or an Android or whatever, you know, adjusting to the technology that it is today. A lot of the times people just take pictures with their phones. They don't really want to buy one, a hard copy of a picture anyways. So, I hope that answered your question, Graham. I know it's a long-winded answer, but I appreciate that, that you asked the question, and I wish, you know, safe travels I know you're going to be leaving Thursday. I talked to you this morning. So safe travels for you and the family out to England as, you know, the show must go on, though. And I know that you guys do a fantastic job and you've done a few shows in advance to make up for that. So go give them a follow at MGB Wrestling Pod on Twitter. Our next group of questions, this is a group of two questions from Mags and Bags. They are at Dash Kirkby. First and foremost, go give them a follow. They are fantastic. They are loyal listeners. They are they will probably be the first ranters of the Ringside Rant. And then obviously the rest of everybody will go up from there. But I appreciate you guys listening to the show first and foremost, and I appreciate you contributing to the show. Their first question is, what was the match, event, or wrestler that made you a lifelong wrestling fan? And, you know, this was hard for me because I started watching wrestling back in the Hulkamania era, back in the early 90s. And then I took a little bit of a sabbatical of going to high school, you know, not watching wrestling. And then I got back into it around 2000 when I was in high school. But, you know, first and foremost, when I first got into it, I, you know, everybody was a Hulkamaniac. Every kid was a Hulkamaniac when growing up. I don't care who you were. You know, you were a Hulkamaniac because, you know, that was the thing to do. Now, so, and now, nowadays, being a fan of the Young Bucks is a thing to do. But the thing that, it wasn't a match or an event that was specific. It was more of a wrestler. It was Hulk Hogan, man. It was everything that Hulk Hogan was, is, and forever will be, got me loving professional wrestling. Because when he, you know, the first guy that I did impressions of was Hulk Hogan, you know, dropping a leg on my little brother in the family room or the living room, watching it, and dropping the pillow on him or dropping the elbow on him or whatever. You know, you punch him three times, you throw him against the ropes, which in this case was a wall. So you hit the wall, you come back, and I give him the big boot, and I drop the leg on him. And we're still here today, so nothing drastically happened. So that was fantastic in itself. So, but yeah, just watching Hulk Hogan got me loving professional wrestling and made me a lifelong fan no matter what. I will never give up on the WWE, no matter what, how bad their product is now or good their product is or whatever. I will always be a WWE fan because that's the first promotion that I actually sat and watched for an extended period of time, and I loved it. So, so yeah, definitely Hulk Hogan got me to be a lifelong wrestling fan. So the next question from Mags and Bags, we're at Dash Kirkby. What other sports aside from wrestling do you enjoy? You know, which is definitely a good question because wrestling is my first and foremost love. Whether it be independence, working for a fantastic promotion in upstate professional wrestling here in Rochester, or, you know, watching WWE or New Japan or NXT or all the wrestling across the board. But the sports that I like aside from wrestling is baseball first and foremost, and then football. I grew up watching baseball, playing baseball as a little boy, from the age of 6 all the way until I was 18 in high school and graduated and decided that I was burnt out and, you know, I needed a break from it. And, you know, when after that, I ended up getting involved with softball to get that spark back. But yeah, I could basically sit down and watch any type of baseball, whether it be minor league here in Rochester with the Red Wings. I'm a Yankees fan. I know some people out there will probably scoff at that I'm a Yankees fan, but I'm born and raised with pinstripes in my blood. So I could basically sit down and watch any Yankees game or any baseball game in general because I just love the sport of baseball. You know, love, you know, trying to figure out, okay, if certain situations arise, what are you going to do? You know, my wife, on the other hand, despises baseball watching, but she will go to baseball games. So there's a happy medium for there. So, and then obviously with my 6-year-old son, Gavin, it's a kind of a father-son thing that we get going, that we go out and play catch or go to a baseball game, just him and I. And, you know, it brings back good memories going to games with my dad and all that good stuff with my brothers and playing, you know, playing baseball over the summer, playing in, you know, a town league and two travel leagues. And, you know, those were our vacations when we were little. It wasn't going to Disneyland or going to California or going to, you know, going anywhere. It was going to certain parts of the state of New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, what have you, and just playing baseball, staying in the hotels, and, you know, being with your teammates, being with your friends that are your teammates, and watching baseball when you're not playing baseball. And I continue that today. So if, you know, and then football, I've kind of, if it's on, I'll watch it. But first and foremost, I am a huge, huge baseball fan and Yankees fan on top of that. So, and a baseball fan in general. So I appreciate those questions coming from Mags and Bags over at Dej Kirkby. Go give them a follow. And you can let them know that I consider them my number one ranter here at the Ringside Rant, as well as Mr. Bagshaw, Jerry Hey Hey Arnold, and, of course, the man with the golden voice, Diesel, from View from the Top Rope. On that note, I have a question from the man with the golden voice, Diesel, who is at Diesel underscore VFTR. Go over and subscribe to the Visionaries Wrestling Network, and you can hear his golden voice as he sings on the View from the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast on Thursdays right here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. And he asks, what's the absolute favorite thing about professional wrestling for me? You know, the most favorite thing that, you know, I love about professional wrestling is, has nothing, well, it has something to do with the actual sport or the professional wrestling, but it has to do with, one, with this podcast. If it wasn't for professional wrestling and my love for professional wrestling, I wouldn't have this podcast. So that's probably what I, at my favorite, one of my favorite things. And then just talking to all my listeners, talking to all my friends that I've met through professional wrestling. Like I said, whether it be the boys Diesel or Chad or JR, Graham, Mason, you know, any of the, you know, I can't list you all right now, but you all know who you are that I've talked to, since whether you're on a podcast or whether you're friends that have done, you know, Joker that have, David that has done artwork for the show. You know, that's my favorite thing. You know, guys like Cam from a couple Marks Wrestling podcast, and Chris as well from a couple Marks. You know, just sitting there and you get to know each other and you get to, you know each other's families and all that stuff. And that's all through podcasting. So my favorite thing about professional wrestling is two things: podcasting and all my fans and then my friends that I've met through podcasting and through professional wrestling, and just talking and just chatting with them about professional wrestling. So I appreciate Diesel for asking that question, and make sure that you listen to their show right here on Thursdays on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. The next question comes from Jerry Hey Arnold, who is at Santa Jesus Guy. So go give him a follow. He's a loyal ranter as well. And then he said, do I ever see CM Punk wrestling, whether it be in WWE, ROH, or anywhere else? Obviously, before he asked this, he didn't know the result of CM Punk's UFC fight last night, which he lost again and got sent to the hospital. So, and Dana White has basically said that he is pretty much done in the UFC. He's old and he can't cut it anymore, which I doubt that. So, but I do see him wrestling again. I don't think it's going to be in the WWE. I see him going to more of a promotion similar of, you know, an ROH or a Impact, or even going as, I doubt he'll go into New Japan, because I don't think he's going to want to travel all the way to Japan. But for at this point of the question, I would say he would go to ROH, just because he has been in ROH before. He knows what ROH is. He's wrestled numerous matches in Ring of Honor, and I think the roster in Ring of Honor is best fits for him. He can wrestle when he wants. He can wrestle who he wants, and he doesn't have to have a big travel schedule. You know, he can wrestle wherever he wants, and you know, and work around his schedule. So I really see him see CM Punk wrestling again, but the only promotion that I see him wrestling in right now at this point is Ring of Honor, just for the simple facts of that he can, you know, be booked when he wants, wrestle who he wants, and it's just Ring of Honor fits him best, obviously, from being there years ago before going to the WWE and ECW. But yeah, Ring of Honor is probably going to be the best fit for him if that's what he chooses and decides to do. If he actually is physically done with MMA, UFC, whatever, and decides to go to back to wrestling, I really see him going to Ring of Honor. I don't see him going back to WWE, obviously, with all the crap that's happened with his being sued by the doctor and all that stuff with Cole Cabana. I don't see him going back to WWE. Like I said, ROH is for CM Punk. So, my last question, and probably the longest one that I'm going to have an answer to, is from Kelsey, who is another loyal ranter. She is at Super Kickin' It. And make sure you check out her podcast. It's the Two-Faced Wrestling Pod, which is brought to you by the PWP Nation. So make sure you go over and subscribe to them as well. And make sure you give her a follow, because she does a fantastic job. You know, before and after you listen to Ringside Rant and the Visionaries Wrestling Network, go over and listen to Kelsey's podcast, because she does a fantastic job. And I don't miss an episode, so I should know. So she asks, Frankie from Boy Meets World grows up to have three children who have all become wrestlers just like their grandpa Vader. They all work in the business today. So choose three wrestlers that are working currently today that would be Frankie's children. This question was asked to the View from the Top Rope guys as well. So if I repeat anybody that they've had, I apologize, but I have three answers of my own. My first one would be Lance Archer from the Killer Elite Squad in New Japan, just because he's a scary MF-er. He's, you know, and he works up to that heel persona just like Vader, just like Frankie, and he's that quote-unquote bully tactics. He does that in New Japan, and he does it to a T, and he's a fantastic heel, just like Vader was, and just like Frankie was in on Boy Meets World as well. But he still has that little soft side like Frankie does. So, Lance Archer, Lance Hoyt would be my first pick as one of Frankie's children. My second pick for being one of Frankie's children would be the come get these hands, Mr. Braun Strowman from the WWE, just because he's a big, scary guy, just like Vader, just like Frankie. And he is just like Vader. He does not mind throwing his fist around to make his point and to beat people up. But also, if for those of you that didn't see his elf video that he did around Christmas time, he has that soft side to him. So he's similar to Frankie in that aspect, where he still kind of, you know, he has that, you know, that soft side, that he's a, you know, he's a teddy bear at heart. So that is my second guy, is Braun Strowman from the WWE. My last and final wrestler that would be one of Frankie's children would be Fala Ba from Impact, just because he has that look, that big, beefy guy, just like Frankie was, just like Vader was, that big guy that you're not going to want to mess with, and it will scare the bejesus out of you. So to summarize, my three children that will have been Frankie's children that are currently in wrestling: Lance Archer from the Killer Elite Squad in New Japan, Braun Strowman from the WWE, and last and certainly not least is Fala Ba from Impact Wrestling. So I thank everybody, Kelsey, Diesel, Jerry, Nags and Bags, Graham, for asking all these fantastic questions. And if anybody's listening that wants to ask questions for next week's show, can email them to me at ringside.rant@yahoo.com, or you can simply DM me on Twitter at RJ_Krusinski, which you can follow me there. It's KRUSZYNSKI, or you can DM the show's Twitter page at ringside_rant. So I appreciate everybody, like I said, that has listened to the all these wonderful interviews that I've done so far. And I appreciate everybody that will continue to listen to these shows, because you guys, my loyal ranters, mean the world to me. And without you guys, I wouldn't be doing this. And I appreciate that very much. So make sure you go over and subscribe to the Visionaries Wrestling Network on iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and I'll give you a shout out if you take a screenshot and send it to me. You know, because that's just the kind of guy I am. So I appreciate everybody that's listened so far. So make sure that you tune in next Monday to my interview with John Davis from Pro Wrestling Ego. And in the meantime, I hope you enjoy all the great content we have here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Support your independent wrestling first and foremost. Go out and support these guys and gals. They do a fantastic job. If you're in the Rochester area, come out and support Upstate Professional Wrestling, and you will definitely be able to see me as I do my pre-match and post-match interviews as well as commentary. So come out and say hi, and I'll definitely appreciate you guys coming to the events. So, and last and certainly not least, embrace the vision.